also a musician. I'm not just a podcast host. And I'm going to play some songs for you. Some songs that I don't really have recorded. And I hope you like them. So I think the first one I'm going to do always gets at least a couple of my friends very teary. And it's a song that I wrote. It's called Silence. And I wrote it, a few years ago when I was still living in Guelph. And it's just about those moments that kind of you watch yourself in them and you know that you're supposed to say something, but you just don't. And how thick and heavy that silence can be. That's what the song's about.
Silence.
It's amazing how much music kind of changes as you play it. Fortunately, I have been doing music for a long time, and I've been doing my own songs that I've written for a long time. And it just is amazing how it changes and morphs throughout your life, and it means different things, and it brings up different memories. And, you know, I can remember different times that I've played that song, and I can remember the moment that I wrote it about, and I can remember writing it. And it's such a bizarre kind of mind-melding experience to just keep playing it, because it all comes rushing back. And it's actually to a point where it's almost difficult to do the whole thing because I just have a rush of memories. But I still like that song. It's still great. And I hope that someday I'll actually properly record it and release it in a way that has a higher production value than just like a straight acoustic performance. Because I would like, I mean, I'd love to add violin. I've definitely done that. I played with a friend of mine, Emily, who has so many other projects. I think right now she's working on, or they're working on, Dagger Harbor. And, yeah, check them out. Really great. anyways, Emily played violin for me a few times, or with me, I shouldn't say for me, with me a few times. And it's always lovely and magical. I remember playing Tuski folk when my EP came out, and that was super fun because we had a little bit of a jam going on with with a xylophone. I brought out my ukulele. We had a hand drum, and it was just the two of us. And you know, every song there would be like another thing that Emily would bring out and play. So that was really fun. And yeah, it's fun hearing different versions of the same song. It's kind of hard to interview myself. I'm finding that a bit weird, but I hope that this is enjoyable. So I'm just going to sing more songs because otherwise I don't know how I'm going to finish this. This next song that I'm going to play, it's called Closer. And I really like it. It's a newer song. I think I wrote it 2 years ago, so I guess medium new. And I wrote it just as my last band, The Misprints, were forming. I wrote it around the time, I think I had just met Tim Coker and Christopher Pullman, and I was still living in Hochelaga, and I think my roommates had all since left, and I was still, I finally had my apartment to myself for like a month or two before I was moving to a different apartment. And so in that time, I actually had the space and ability to write music, so I was actually finally alone. And I didn't realize how important it was for me to be alone to write well. Not all the time. Sometimes it's really great to write with collaborators or with people around, and they can influence my music, but there's something very different about writing music by yourself in your own space, knowing that no one's going to interrupt you, and you can just have that freedom of thought and expression. So I wrote the song during that time, it kind of surprised me when I wrote it, because I was just like, I had all my music stuff out, and I was just enjoying the sounds and playing around with sounds, and then I started coming up with some words, and there was this whole song in me that I didn't realize needed to come out. And I wrote it in like a day. it didn't come out all at once. Like, that sometimes does happen, but this time, you know, I spent a little bit of time throughout the day coming up with lyrics and finding things that made sense, and by the end of it, I was just so thrilled to be sharing it, and I've had the wonderful ability to play it for a bunch of people and with a bunch of people, and I really look forward to turning it into a recorded piece in some way in the future, beyond just this podcast. So here's Closer. On some of that, but I'm not going to record it again because that would be too much. I think there's a chance I might have strep throat right now, so but it's like in the early stages, if at all. I might just be paranoid, but I don't want to take any chances, so I'm just going to leave that where it is. That's my song, Closer. you may have noticed, I have a hella big voice for being such a tiny person. I'm not really that tiny, but I'm not big either. I'm very average sized. And people are always really surprised that I have a very big voice. Which is kind of a fun surprise to, like, you know, bestow on people. It's just great seeing people's reactions. Because I know that I defy expectations. And I love that. And I love anyone who defies expectations. But it can get really frustrating sometimes, being someone who defies expectations. Especially when expectations are really messed up. Like, I recently had an experience, and constantly have this experience, where as a woman in music, it is assumed that I don't really know how to do stuff, which is frustrating. Like, I'm limited by my financial resources, yes. I do not make a lot of money, and I spend a lot of time doing art, which means that I make less money because I'm less able to work on stuff that gives me money. But I'm pretty capable with a lot of things, and you know, given enough time, money, and resources, I'm at least as capable as anyone else, and oftentimes more so. So it gets really frustrating when I often come across specifically like men who will assume that I know nothing because I'm a woman. Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of your sound for you, or I'll do this for you, or don't worry, like, I got this. And it's nice that they want to help, because I think there are a lot of women who don't have the expertise, don't have the knowledge, and do need that help, and that's great. But, like, maybe wait, like, a half a second to, like, figure out what kind of skills the person you're talking to has. You're probably going to be surprised. And I really hope that they surprise you. All right, the next song I want to play for you. I actually was looking at my Bandcamp, which, if you aren't already aware of it, I do have a Bandcamp. It is at, it is That Nikki You Know, all one word, That Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, You Know, .bandcamp.com. So I have like three sort of like albums on there. I have one that I recorded at Pipe Street Studios in Guelph. That was like my first kind of recording session thing. It was recorded over, I think, 2 days. And I had no recording experience at all and was still kind of nervous to like play a lot of my music in front of people, depending on the song. And definitely felt kind of weird in that whole process, and I that process made me realize that that is not how I like to record. So I don't like to go to a place with someone I don't know, in a place I've never been, with equipment I'm not controlling, to do music on someone else's schedule. That's not how I do stuff. And I learned that through that process. And then there's another one that I recorded entirely on my phone. It was like a first generation smartphone, had terrible sound quality on it, but it had kind of a neat distorted effect that I really liked at the time. And I, you know, it was hard to get the sweet spot of making it sound good and interesting without it sounding completely wrong. And I found, especially because I'm a singer who uses a lot of dynamics, so I go from being very quiet to being very loud fairly quickly. And it's hard to do that when you have, like, when your recording device is doesn't have a huge range that it can pick up, and before it becomes like peaking, before it's too loud for it to understand what it's hearing. So then it takes a little bit of time. It took a little bit of time to get used to that, but I recorded the whole album on that phone, and then I took the files from my phone, ran them through VLC Media Player, which is like a freeware software that I would use to watch movies. And I discovered that that it has effects, so you can actually make like big reverb sort of spacey sounds in there. So I added those effects to it, and I played it through VLC Media Player, and I didn't have any like real recording equipment. So the way that I then recorded that was I used Audacity. Yeah, I used Audacity. It's freeware. I used it for my undergrad thesis because I did a discourse analysis kind of thing. So I had a recorded session of a couple's therapy session. And I had to listen to that and create transcripts and things like that. So I was used to that program already, and I knew that you could actually record your speaker output from your computer directly to the program. So the signal that it would send to speakers, had I had them, that were decent, you can just record that directly without having to have a middle sort of device. So I did that, and that album I called Quiet One, and I took a picture through a kaleidoscope, and I had fun with it. It was nice, and I liked the finished product. It was very lo-fi, very DIY, and I liked it. I loved what came out of that, and that actually got me invited to do a focus group session with TC Helicon, and in that session I got a little bit more gear, which was really helpful, and it became a really great thing for me. Anyways, and then I have my EP that is a 3-song EP that I recorded myself with my own sort of little studio setup, and was just a microphone and a little Scarlett Solo audio interface. And my MacBook that I saved for so long to get. So with that, I was able to record these 3 songs, and I recorded full arrangements. I played everything on it. It was amazing, super fun. I had a great time doing it. So those are the things that are on my Bandcamp. You can check those out. And I was looking through there, and I realized that this next song, Black Holes, isn't actually on there. And I was kind of surprised, because in my head I was thinking, oh yeah, I definitely recorded that song, because I recorded another song that I wrote around the same time on the Quiet One album, but I think this one maybe was still being written at that time, or hadn't quite been written, but it was around that time anyways. Around 2014, 2015, something in there. So I'm just gonna play Black Holes. You're super symmetrical, almost perpetual motion. Captures my wandering eye that devours devotion. I never knew anyone quite like you. I never wanted to know anyone quite like you before. Flying through space, all defying the theories. Those mystical, magical, phantasmagorical theories. We'll fly, warping the space and time. We'll fly, taking up space. I always like that ending. It always freaks people out. Like, whenever I'm playing with someone, like the do-do-do, they always want to go to the next note, and it's funny to me. Because in my head, I'm like, heh, you're wrong, though. I know you think that's right, but you're wrong. That's the fun of being a songwriter. You get to decide what is right and what is wrong. That song, let's see, I was reading a lot of stuff about black holes. What was that volume? It was that huge book that kind of encapsulates what the research has been in modern physics, in physics up until modern times. And it talks a little bit about string theory, and like other sort of quantum physics topics, and you know, how many dimensions there are to the universe and things like that, and how there's theories that there's at least 11 sort of dimensions, but possibly more. And I remember at that time thinking like, okay, well, we've got, you know, space-time. Within that, we've got, like, you know, height, width, depth, and then there's these other dimensions that we just don't quite understand. And I remember, like, having this sort of, like, wide-eyed stroke of insight, thinking that I had cracked some codes and figured out what other dimensions were. I think my theory was mostly just that there was like a feeling, sort of intuitive dimension, at least one, and that could kind of bring you to different spots in like time and space, and change your reality. I'm not a physicist. I don't actually know what I'm talking about, but I like to think about a lot of things, and I like to come up with ideas. And I think given a lot of the various research in a whole bunch of different fields that touch on consciousness and the effects that our emotions and our mental reality have on our physical reality is just at the beginning. And it's really exciting to see where it might go and where it is going already. So I'm really excited about consciousness research. That's something that every now and again I get a little curious and I start reading a little bit more about it, and you know, I discover what people have been discovering, and it really is quite amazing what science is doing and how much science there is in the world and how much people are discovering. And I think there's a lot more crossover between fields now than there ever has been. But there's also so much more information that there ever has been. And so it's really hard to get sort of a cohesive picture of what the world is through science, because there just isn't enough time for one person to do it all. But I like learning more about it, piecing those puzzle bits together, and figuring out what the world is like, and making up ideas about it, and testing those ideas, and figuring it out. So that's a bit about me. I'm like a science hobbyist, I guess. And that song is called Black Holes, and I was reading a lot about black holes at the time, and I was having an experience where I had met someone that was unlike any other person I had previously met, and something in my brain was telling me to pay attention to it. Like, this person is important somehow. Figure it out. And I tried. I think I placed a bunch of different, you know, familiar shades of meaning onto this person, and tried to figure out how they were meaningful to me, which is such like a weird thing. I think that I don't know if I've really heard people talk about that, but I'm sure someone else does that. I'm sure other people do this, where you get a sense for someone and you feel like, yes, I want you in my life somehow. I don't know how, but I want to figure it out. And so then you place, like, you know, are we close friends? Do we work together? Are we going to, like, date? Do we want to have some sort of, like, other kind of intimate relationship? How is this going to play out? Why will you be in any way important to me? And so you place these identities onto someone to see what fits. And I think we all have our different, like, orders of what we try on first and how we like to make things fit. But yeah, that song was just about that sort of feeling like there was some sort of cosmic push for us to somehow meet, and I couldn't figure it out, and I was just completely confused. yeah, and black holes to me, there's still a lot to figure out about black holes. We don't really know that much about them, and there are a lot of interesting theories. One of which is that black holes can be kind of like a portal from one place to another. And in the song, there are lyrics, and we're tied to our souls, and we'll dive into black holes. And I guess that was sort of a way of bringing an image to my mind about people being kind of, in a way, soulmates, sort of torn through time and space and brought together through some sort of black hole magic. And I felt like that was happening. And I still am completely confused, and I think I've just, like, put it on the back burner, and I mean, that person doesn't really play a central role in my life anymore, like they did, you know, eons ago when I wrote the song. And so I haven't really thought about it. I haven't figured it out to this day. This person is kind of, like, peripherally in my life in a way, but that I can easily forget about, and I kind of have. Not to say that I refuse to think about it, but I just haven't. So we'll see how that plays out over the course of my life. I'm excited to figure out whether there is anything to it, or if I was just smoking too much weed. We may never know. Well, I think I'm going to maybe play a song that also is not recorded, also is one that I should have recorded ages ago. I wrote it just before moving to Montreal, and it's probably, for a long time, it was like the most requested song that I had, next to like Silence, and probably also Black Holes, but mostly this one. It's called Long Way Home.
No.
should play. Jump right in that garbage bin and let me know what you find there and if it had to go. So honey, I'll take the long way home tonight. And how well you used to sleep at night. And oh, there's so much to learn in so little time till we all start to burn. So wrote about mostly about dumpster diving. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, because a lot of people seem to think that it's actually about just like sad relationship, but it's, I mean, kind of, it's about our sad relationship to the world and how there is just so much that we throw out and we don't need to. We produce so much stuff, so much garbage, and it's inexcusable. We know better. We're capable of doing better. We're just not doing it. The long way home was actually biking around to all the dumpsters and checking them out. So I had, like, you know, at the time when I was living in Guelph, and I knew exactly which dumpsters were the good dumpsters to go to. And if I was, like, coming home from the bars or from a friend's house or wherever, I would go around and check out all the dumpsters to see what's there, and I would usually find something. Jump right in that garbage bin, and you will find. Jump right in that garbage bin. Right. Jump right in that garbage bin and let me know what you find there. And if it had to go, most of the time not. So I guess be aware of your environment. Be aware of what you throw out. Be aware of what everyone throws out. I think it's really important to do what you can, to be environmentally conscious, and to try to limit the effect that you personally have on the environment. But that's only one part. We really need companies, businesses, to step up. And I think a lot of them are stepping up. But it's not enough. We need to do more. We have an incredibly small timeline to fix things. Incredibly small. And we have a lot of really smart, amazing people that just need to be able to work with the right people who can be the movers and shakers of the world to actually make real change. We can do it. We're kind of doing it on a small scale, but we need to do it on a large scale. And that can happen if literally everyone is on the same page. Or like a lot less. So that's my little environmental rant. And I hope that you liked that song. I hope it makes you think about what you can do to limit your impact. To limit your negative impact and to maximize your positive impact on the world. Bye.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast.